much room. Thank you, and may it please the court. The regulation at issue in this case imposes the ceiling prices under Section 8126 on TRICARE's retail pharmacy sales without the contracts required by Section 8126. That rule is
starting off with a controversial formulation of the issue, right? The proposition that the regulation imposed the price controls.
Yes, well, there's no question that
the government's contention is just the opposite.
That the
statute imposed the price control.
Well, the government's contention is that the Congress gave it flexibility to decide whether it could, by regulatory fiat, impose price controls without using the contracting mechanism that is indisputably required under Section 8126. So you're right, there are two questions presented here. And the first is whether the statute does in fact allow the regulation, whether that's consistent with this.
The government's contention is stronger than that. The government's contention is that the statute itself, without any further action, imposes the price controls.
Right, and the government lost that case.
Central to its position, yeah. On the retroactivity issue.
I agree. And the government argued, and this was the issue before Judge Bates in the 2009 opinion, and there are seeds of that, that the government had no choice, that the statute made these price controls immediately effective as of the effective date. And Judge Bates held, in a decision that hasn't been challenged here, that the statute itself imposes no liability on anyone. It just, in our view, incorrectly, the judge thought the price controls have to be implemented. But the effective date, Judge Williams, doesn't say price controls are effective. It says that the retail pharmacy program shall be treated as an element of DOD for purposes of procurement of drugs by federal agencies under Section 8126.
To ensure
that the
pharmaceuticals paid for by DOD, et cetera, are subject to the pricing
right.
Standards.
And exactly. And our fundamental position in this case is that the statute, because Section 8126 requires contracts, there's no dispute about that for the military treatment facilities.
But 8126 is about procurement.
Right? That's right.
And that's not involved in this situation. There is no procurement. The government doesn't buy drugs,
right, and that's
retail.
The
so that's why you don't have a perfect fit here. The government is saying that, you know, 703 changed the rules. Nothing in it says we have to do it through agreements. True, that was their first attempt at it, but then the government decided they couldn't comply with the mandatory provisions of 703 with agreements, and agreements. As I said, the way I read this is agreements are part of the procurement process.
Right.
And that's not what you've got going on under 703.
With all due respect, Judge Tatel, this statute is just a one-sentence cross-reference.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, with all due respect, the statute's a mess.
Statute may be a mess, but one thing it's not a mess on is that it's a one-sentence cross-reference,
yes.
Tuple on procurements. It twice says, treat this, if counterfactually, CVS and the retail pharmacy program were in fact part of DOD, Section 8126 would require the government to use contracts to procure drugs. And this is typical. And one thing, if there were any doubt about this, and I think this
says,
is where Judge Bates went wrong.
Excuse me. It says, you're talking about the language of the statute. It says it shall be treated as an element, right, to the extent necessary.
Right, and that limits
the
purpose.
Extent necessary.
Exactly.
So the government is saying that you know, we don't need agreements.
I think the government is saying we just can just ignore the operative legal phrase and just completely, you know, okay, yeah, it has a mandate, but we can just ignore it because all that matters is that we get the price controls. The mandate is that the retail pharmacy program shall be treated as if DOD were itself procuring drugs under Section 8126. But Judge Tatel, again, this is where Judge Bates went wrong. To look at this statute in isolation.
You think this is unambiguous?
It may be unambiguous saying, Ms. Blatt, you should wear a dark suit to court. And that may mean I can either wear gray or black, but it doesn't mean I should show up in pink. And the problem with what DOD did here is it, again, look at this in context. It's one sentence with a backdrop of 20 years of unbroken, without exception, time after time in five separate statutes where Congress, worth almost $17 billion covering 120 Americans, has always implemented price caps through contracts. It's a foundational under...
In the procurement context, how would the government get the drugs without a contract? I mean, barge into the factories or what?
No, but the... Let's state two of the biggest programs. In fact, the $11 billion program, which is contracts, is a rebate program. It's when you and I were covered under Medicaid, we go buy a drug at CVS, the pharmaceutical agencies owe a rebate. It's done under agreement. The 340B program, which are basically clinics like Indian Health Clinics, AIDS clinics, those are all done by ceiling caps. This is a situation where the government is not a party between CVS and a TRICARE beneficiary. And that is no different than the Medicaid drug rebate and the 340B program. And also the Medicaid Part D coverage, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. There's another one. After Congress passed this statute, of course it uses contracts. It has never said to the drug industry, hand over your money. Just hand it over. It has always said, we want a manifestation of prior consent. For whatever reason, whether because there was some doubt about whether it could do that.
But the manifestation of prior consent is selling the drugs to these pharmacies.
Well, I doubt that the entire commercial world thinks every time it sells a drug and it sells a product in the commercial market, the government can impose a price control.
Well, under 703, it now knows that. It's known it since the moment Congress passed it.
No, that's just not true, Judge Tatel, for this reason. Mm-hmm. The government assumes that Congress authorized the department to impose retroactive liability, not only at a time before they could opt in, but before they could opt out, and before even the statute was passed. It's like triple retroactive. It's retroactive before the regulation. It's retroactive before the statute. And the...
I'm sorry, how is it retroactive before the statute?
Because this is... pharmaceutical companies were selling drugs in 2006 to 2007.
The ones that were in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this assumes, again, the statute runs from prescriptions, which is an odd choice if Congress was thinking about imposing retroactive liability. In other statutes, like the Medicaid rebate statute, that says, and actually 8126 says, contractors, at some point in the future, by a date certain, you need to enter contracts as of a certain date. So Congress is very explicit. And the reason why retroactivity principles, where the presumption is shifted, you need a clear and express statement. And we are way in ambiguity land. To say this statute is a mess and therefore the government can do whatever it wants and impose near $1 billion in liability at a time... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The department has said they'll grant waivers, right?
In a Kafkaesque and illusory and unrealistic way.
Does anybody ask for a waiver?
No, but no contractor would.
No, it's just a waiver on retroactivity. How do we know whether...
Because the DOD has said, mm-hmm. A, we're not going to tell you that we'll waive it. In fact, in the regulation, we're going to tell you we have no authority to waive it. That's at JA 75. And then they say, by the way, in order to waive it, you have to drop out of TRICARE, and we're not going to tell you what that means. But actually, we will tell you. We're only one part of the government, so we'll tell you we think that that means you'll fail to comply with Section 8126, and you'll be excluded from Medicaid and Part D, which means you'll have to stop selling drugs to 24 million veterans, 63 million poor people under Medicaid, and 20-something million people under Medicare Part D. But we don't have any authority, drug companies. You better go ask VA. But that's their opt-out program. It's both illusory because they don't make any representation that they will, in fact, waive it. They say you should go to what may be the brink of suicide for many of these companies, and good luck getting DOD to waive it. DOD says...
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Has any pharmaceutical company applied for a waiver and made it clear that its application is conditional on these collateral consequences not occurring.
All drug companies have applied for a waiver retrospectively. So all the contractors that have actually signed contracts agreeing to price control. So over 90% of drug companies have contracts starting in June or July of 2009. And they've all said, we want a waiver just for the retroactive. But none of them have said, we want to withdraw from TRICARE on condition. DOD has said it doesn't have authority.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is the question of whether, I mean, I certainly understand your position that the DOD position on this put pharmaceutical companies, at least in a theoretical bind, if the price controls were such that they would lose money on obviously losing money against their regular sale price, but if they would lose money against their costs properly
conceived. Some of them
conceived.
Are. Some of them
well,
are.
But then the interesting thing is why everybody stays in it.
Why everyone stays in, I mean, this is the brinkmanship that we're all under for this some $20 billion program. Drug companies actually want the market, clearly, and drug companies also don't want to be in a position of saying, we're not going to serve our 24 million veterans, our 10 million members of military families in their active service. Drug companies actually want to be on these programs in the main. And the Medicaid population, no question, that's some 63 million Americans.
Patriotism,
but,
huh? Excuse me.
Patriotism, I do think, on veterans, absolutely. Uh-huh. On Medicaid, it's a huge market. Uh-huh. But there are some, I don't know, it's 10 million members of TRICARE. And they sort of perversely want to punish the very drug companies who want to stay in the program without even telling them, well, if you opt out, we are not going to. Again, Judge Williams, they say they can't let you. We cannot waive it. Department of Justice. So if I owe a tax bill, I'm actually better off than the drug companies. I can always ask the government to waive liability. That's the Debt Collection Act. The government has authority to waive any debt it wants. So it's not like DOD did any favors to drug companies by saying, you can always ask for a waiver. Oh, and by the way, before you even ask for a waiver that every other citizen in this country is entitled to do, you've got to drop out of TRICARE, even though we're not going to tell you the consequences. And if you don't think that's Kafkaesque, you at least have to ask yourself, is that really what Congress intended by passing a one-sentence provision that just cross-references procurement? Judge Bates also thought procurement just meant, procurement in the casual sense. But there's no question.
Now, my impression of the briefs was that the opting out could occur on a drug-by-drug basis. Am I wrong on that?
Yes. I think that is right.
Where is it made clear that it's not drug-by-drug, but total program?
JA, and again, it's the brief. It's the elephant in the room that they say they never resolved because they thought they didn't have any authority that withdrawing any drug would fail to comply with Section 8126, and therefore you would not only drop out of 8126, but you would also risk exclusion under Medicaid and Medicare Part B.
Let's do it step by step. I take you to be saying that the regulation left it open whether withdrawal of one drug from TRICARE would take you out of 8126.
Right. No, I'm
and
sorry.
Also,
I think
whether withdrawal of one drug would take you out
in
of
order,
all the other.
Yeah, sorry, Judge Williams. In order to ask for this $500 million to $1 billion retroactive liability to be waived, you've got to drop out of TRICARE altogether. And not just, so that would mean...
That's clear. Where is that made clear?
In the regulation that is called Q3iii C. So
what does it say?
It says that you have to withdraw from TRICARE. In addition to normal debt relief, a request may waiver may be premised on the voluntary removal by the manufacturer.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at, I think I'm looking at the section you cite, which seems
yes.
to say a request for waiver may also be premised on the voluntary removal by the manufacturer in writing of
a drug right.
from coverage.
Right.
In the TRICARE.
Yeah. You can ask the government this, but if you read their brief and you read the regulations, they say if you want to seek a waiver, you must drop out of TRICARE, and you will, in our view, you will be excluded from Medicare, but you'll have to ask the VA for a definitive resolution. But they can correct me on that if I'm wrong. But even if I am wrong, the fact that they have been told that there's no assurance that you would even get the waiver, a drug company is basically saying, well, I'd have to stop selling drugs to the military. To what? To basically write the government a note that anybody can write saying, please don't enforce. They've sent them demand letters and saying, you owe us money. You're under a threat of a lawsuit. You owe a debt to the United States Treasury, and pay it or face an enforcement action. And their only relief under this regulation is to do what you and I can do and say, but please don't enforce it. If I can just reserve a few minutes of time for rebuttal. Thanks.
Mr. Donahue.
Good morning, Your Honors. Just to start off with something very basic, the regulation here achieves precisely the result intended by Congress. It says to manufacturers, if you want to do business, keep selling drugs to DOD, you have to provide the same discount, regardless of where those drugs are dispensed, whether they're dispensed at a DOD pharmacy.
The way you formulated that, selling drugs to the government, it is absolutely the broadest notion of the consequences of refraining from selling a particular drug through TRICARE.
The broadest.
So 8126 and everything else.
To just pick up on that last point, no, you can drop out on a drug by drug basis. You
can drop out of TRICARE on a TRICARE basis.
All that DOD resolved was whether you could drop out of TRICARE and what the consequences of that would be. Now, the position
of consequences of what that would be?
The consequences might very well be that under 8126, then you can also not, you're also barred from selling that drug to the VA, to the other two, that drug. It's all drug by drug. The master agreements, they can opt out of the 8126 master agreements. They can say, we want to terminate a master agreement on a drug by drug basis. It's not on a manufacturer by manufacturer basis.
And what about all the other programs under which the government buys drugs?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that the coalition manufacturers have an argument for why they can drop out of TRICARE but not face the consequences under Section 8126, which would apparently bar them from providing drugs to any of the government agencies. But I think in the government's view, if they were to drop out of TRICARE, then they would likewise be barred from selling drugs to the VA and to the public health service and to Medicaid. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's all that is all that 8126 does, right? If the whole purpose of 8126 was to combine the purchasing power of the federal government in order to extract a discount from the drug manufacturers. Before 8126, you had separate purchasing regimes. And so it says,
you said it was drug by drug.
Right.
But how does that work out? Because if you're thrown out of all these programs,
that's still drug by drug. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Because there's a master agreement signed with each pharmaceutical manufacturer, but then there are also separate pharmaceutical pricing agreements that, as a matter of fact, there's no manufacturer of which we are aware has declined to do business with the government on these terms, with the paying the 24% giving us the 24% discount. But the pharmaceutical pricing agreements could carve out particular drugs if they wanted to, if the manufacturers wanted to do that. I think it's telling, though, that the manufacturers haven't done that and still haven't done that, even under the regulations that are at issue here. I think it's important in their reply brief they make very clear that they don't want to stop selling drugs to the government. What they want is to keep selling drugs to the government, but they just want to get their full wholesale price. And that's a result that's plainly barred by what Congress enacted in Section 703. Because Section 703 is absolutely clear that as of January 28, 2008, Congress wanted the DOD to pay no more than the federal ceiling price with respect to the wholesale price.
Do you have any case addressing any case where Congress imposed a price control on the date of enactment without spelling out clearly the consequences of the seller refraining from sales altogether, sales of the specified type?
Well, I'm not sure I am familiar with another situation like that, but that doesn't mean that Congress couldn't do.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean it, but it does make the statute not only badly drafted, but
well, it's clear what
pioneering.
But it's clear what Congress wanted to do, and it's clear that they wanted DOD to. They,
yes,
it's clear
not,
the result.
But it's not clear
wanted.
What the consequences of not tagging along would be for a manufacturer.
In terms of consequences, I think it's very clear. It says Congress wanted that for any prescription filled on the date of an on or after the date of enactment.
No, you're not following me.
Yeah.
I mean, typically price controls, some interesting exceptions in the natural gas area, but typically price controls give the potential seller a choice between receiving only the controlled price and not selling at all that particular item and conducting other business broadly. But
that's exactly the choice that they have here. If on the date of enactment, if they wanted to, they could have, this is the way that 8126 works. The 8126 gives them the right in these master agreements. Whenever they want, they can terminate those agreements. And so if they realize that, okay, expanding the price control, as you call it, that was already in place under Section 8126 to encompass the retail pharmacy sales, well, that is a deal that we don't want to buy into. Then on that day, they could have said, we want to terminate our master agreements with the government because we don't want to sell to the government on these terms. They had that option, and they chose not to do it. And even after, and I think it's very important, even after now that we have a regulation in place, giving them the ability to opt out of TRICARE and seek a waiver on that amount, on any past due rebate liability, they still haven't sought such a waiver. I think that's important. They want to keep selling drugs, and they.
What are the provisions, I assume, of statutes and regulations which raise the question, which you suggest is unresolved, whether dropping a drug out of 8126 drops that drug out of all other government drug purchase programs?
Well, that's a consequence of Section 8126, which says that the way that 8126 works is it says if you want to sell a drug to any of these government agencies, right, you can do it drug by drug.
It's the whole thing.
You have to sell them to all of it and for, at a minimum, a 24% discount. That's the way that 8126 works. And so if you say, I don't want to sell drug, I want to sell a drug to VA and but not to DOD, 8126 says you can't do that.
And
you have to make your drug.
Not to VA, but to Medicare.
Well, Medicare, it's not clear to me. I think Ms. Blatt said that Medicare was part of this scheme. I don't think it is. Medicare Part D. Medicaid is part of this scheme. So it says if you want to keep selling drugs through Medicaid, you have to make your drugs available, to all four of the government specified government agencies that are listed in Section 8126.
But you're saying that the only thing that puts it on an all or nothing basis is the actual language of 8126?
That's how Section 8126 works. Yes,
the language of 8126
yes.
will give us the complete answer.
Yes, yes, absolutely. If you go to 8126A4, it says unless the manufacturer meets the requirements of paragraphs 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, and 3 says. One says, the manufacturer shall make available for procurement on the federal supply schedule of the General Services Administration each covered drug of the manufacturer. So it's clear it's making covered drug. That's the key. And then it says, two, with respect to any covered drug, it has manufacturers entered into and has in effect a pharmaceutical pricing agreement with the secretary, under which the price charge can be no more than 76%. And then three loops in certain state nursing veterans homes, and it says unless you meet those requirements, the manufacturer may not receive payment for the purchase of drugs or biologicals from any federal agency described in Section B or through Medicaid, and so that's all laid out in Section 8126.
And Section B lists everything that's.
Section B lists the department, which is the Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Defense, Public Health Service, and the Coast Guard. So that's. That's how it works. So that's the way that 8126 has worked since 1992. 8126 was passed in 1992, and the manufacturers have been operating under that scheme for over 20 years. And all that 703 does is it says we're going to expand that scheme to encompass retail pharmacy sales, which were not, as Judge Tatel pointed out, not procurements by DOD, which is why they did not fall directly within Section 8126. There was some debate about whether they did, but Congress resolved that by passing 703. And so that's all this scheme does. If there are any other questions.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Plahabi, all right, why don't you take a couple minutes?
Could you just say exactly to what extent you agree or disagree with what Mr. Damley just said?
Sure. So 8126 unambiguously requires a manufacturer to make every single drug. So you take one drug off, you're hosed. It's all or nothing under 8126, and we're in agreement on that. That if you...
I thought his contention was just the opposite, that it was...
No, his contention is under 703 that you can play drug by drug under TRICARE. But if you take one drug off 8126... you are excluded under Medicaid, the Public Health Service, and Medicare Part B as in boy. So, but let me read you from the Federal Register, which is going to make all this academic.
Is this page 75?
Page 80. Right-hand side, way down at the bottom, where it says response. Quote, it is DOD's view that a failure of a manufacturer to comply with 10 U.S.C. 1074 GF, that's the regulatory fiat of a price control, does constitute a failure to comply with 8126. But we can't tell you, so go ahead, try it, but we're not going to tell you what happens. And the question, again, I guess for you, is with 20 years of unbroken, without exception, both before and after the passage of Section 703, where Congress has always given the manufacturers an opt-in, not an opt-out, but an opt-in choice that they have to have. They have to have a written manifestation. And the government raises an interesting point about, well, all this does is tell you, well, you've signed master agreements, and all we're doing is expanding your obligations. If that's what Congress had done, they would still need new contracts. You can't retroactively change contracts. You would have to still enter new contracts. The VA tried to do that. The VA said, I know you've signed master agreements, and we've had a 12-year practice of just carrying 2 points of service, but we want you to now give discounts for this third class. And the VA said, no, that's a substantive rule. You'll have to go through rulemaking. And it's not just the statute. In the 4 years leading up to, and this is an important point, before passage, when the VA was in a fight with manufacturers and the government were negotiating contracts. There were actually rebate agreements that were in existence. And had the department come out and said, well, you have to enter contracts, we'll just make them retroactive to the effective date, contractors would be saying, yeah, but you breached our contracts. You actually have to make the contracts prospective. And all the contracts that manufacturers signed are prospective. So all we're talking about is in the 16-month period before DOD and manufacturers signed contracts, did Congress actually intend that the DOD would hold out or leverage the ability of some 80 million Americans to get drugs on this? Well, we're not going to tell you. It's very confusing. And we're not even going to tell you if you get the rebate.
They did have a track record of, I guess, 12 years, a long time of the manufacturers selling with the 24%.
We've had a 20-year track record of 550 manufacturers and 35,000 drugs of manufacturers abiding by agreements to give almost $20 billion of discounts to the country.
Doesn't that suggest that the manufacturers obviously were not perfectly happy with that?
It suggests
they were willing to continue selling the
and
drugs.
Judge Williams, they did agree. They actually signed contracts, over 90%. There's actually some that never signed a contract. and that therefore, and those are at issue in this case too, and therefore aren't on the uniform formulary. So there's some contractors who said, no, thank you, this is just a big loss for us, and we'll be off the formulary. And the government is sending those people a bill every month saying you still owe us money. The question is, did Congress really intend for the government to, what I think is cheat, that they have always used contracts? Congress obviously did not intend to break from prior practice in a one-sentence provision. We've always used contracts, but we've decided for the first time in the nation's history to give regulatory authority to have price controls by fiat. I don't think that's plausible. If you don't have any questions, we'd ask for the decision to be reversed.
Thank you.